Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
All right, now joining the It's 502 Somewhere podcast, we have someone who you may know her from her time on the Louisville Cardinals women's basketball team. She is, and there's a long list of these, all-time leader in points, rebounds, steals, points per games, field goals, etc., leading Louisville to play in the 2009 NCAA championship game. She was the number one pick of the 2009 WNBA draft, five-time WNBA All-Star, two-time scoring champion of the league, two-time Olympic gold medalist, and is now a director and filmmaker as well. Angel McCautry, how are you today?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for joining. And first and foremost, for people who maybe don't know your background, could you tell us a little bit about your upbringing, where you're from, and life before basketball?
Yeah, I'm from Baltimore, Maryland. I've been playing basketball since I was 8. So I'm 38 now. So you're talking about 30 years of wear and tear in this body. Played in Atlanta for a majority of my career, and then I played in Las Vegas.
And then at a young age, did you have those greater aspirations of basketball being a central part of your life, education, and career, and who were some of your inspirations?
Yeah, probably when I was like about 12, the WNBA came into existence, and I remember people telling me, hey, this thing, you play basketball every day, you can play in this thing called the WNBA, and I'm like, what's that? But mind you, us little girls played basketball before the WNBA and just loved it, right? These kids now have the WNBA their whole lives. So they have more aspirations and they have NIL and everything. But, you know, people during my era, we just played for the love, like, so deeply. There was no NIL, there was no WNBA. So it was just that deep passion of this sport. And, you know, you get labeled a tomboy because there's no other girls out there. I was the only girl. And it's like, why do I love this game so much? And I'm the only girl out here, you know? And that was the unfortunate part about it during my era and probably before. But I'm glad to see more young girls are out there playing, like, you know, more than usual.
And when you got into the college game, you arrived in Louisville in the 2005-2006 season. What about the program and the city connected with you at the time to make the decision to play your career here?
Well, it definitely wasn't this program like, oh, they're a winning program. Let me come here. It's UConn, Tennessee. Like, it was not that, you know, it was just literally I had to go. I took a gamble, literally, you know, there was nothing about the women's program. It was just Patino and Bobby Petrino during that time for football. No one had heard of Louisville women's basketball. They had never been past the first round of the NCAA tournament in their existence. They'd never been ranked in their existence. So there was this non-existent women's program that nobody knew about. So I took a gamble, but I felt it. I felt like, okay, something's here. I don't know what yet, but I'm going to follow my heart on it.
And then as you guys got in for those first couple of years, I think you made a couple NCAA tournaments. Jeff Walls arrived, I think, in your junior year. What do you think he brought to the program as you and the team were already kind of building something special in your first 2 years?
Yeah, because my sophomore year, we had, you know, got ranked for the first time and we had a great team. And we knew that we were going somewhere. We knew we just needed an extra piece, an extra push that can get us over the top with the talent we had. And Jeff Walls knew what it took. He had just won a national championship at Maryland. He was an X and O's guy. I mean, for God's sakes, he's still tricking people by going to the other half of the court.
He's still doing that.
And then they go to opposite. Still doing that. Like, come on, guys. Like, so he was really a smart coach. And what he taught me was, like, you know, he showed me, like, about my attitude, because I was feisty. You know, I'm from Baltimore. We have this attitude. Not that it's a bad thing. It's just maybe expressed, you know, wasn't expressed the right way. He taught me about that. He taught me how to, like, get my teammates in the gym with me if I want to go to a Final Four. Like, you can work as much as you want to by yourself, but if everybody else ain't better around you, what are you doing? And I was like, started bringing my teammates in. Becky Burke, who's now the head coach at Arizona, we were getting to shoot threes, different girls. And literally, I went to a Final Four. National championship game.
And you all reached that national championship game in 2009. What was that experience like, and what did it mean to you and your teammates to be able to make such a big leap?
It meant a lot because obviously we were always counted out. We weren't the team that should have been there. We didn't have high school All-Americans. We didn't have what, you know, teams deem now as a Final Four type team. But that's the beauty of our story, was that like we made it without any of that. And we just put each other in our backs and we just played so hard. That's what we did. We showed
Absolutely.
Up.
And you all, you know, you have represented the city of Louisville incredibly since your time in 2009 up until now. And since you graduated in 2009, what about the city and the fan base do you think sets it apart and makes it special for you?
I remember somebody telling me, it could have been a coach or someone. I was like, yeah, you know, after a couple of years, they're going to forget about you. And I was like, wow, they don't forget. Fans, they don't forget. They're going to love you forever. Louisville will always love us. They will always remember. Every time I go back, thank you. They always say, thank you for the house you built. That's all I hear. And it just makes me feel so good that Louisville remembers. You know, maybe the new generation may not know who I am as a basketball player. You know, so they're all in my case about different stuff. But Louisville, they don't forget.
Absolutely. And you were eventually drafted number one overall in the 09 WNBA draft. What was the initial feeling like in making that transition from the college game to the professional game?
It was, first of all, the best feeling ever to be number one because all the talent that was out. Like, my draft class wasn't easy. It was a very hard draft class. And then going to Atlanta was not easy, I will admit. My rookie year was very hard, very tough. I didn't truly get along with the coach during that time. It was just at odds. It was a lot of just struggle. But I know that somehow I made the rookie of the year. Somehow. We're not even playing half the season. If you look at my stats, my rookie year, I didn't play the first half. How you win rookie of the year playing one half of the season, I don't know, but I did.
And then in the WNBA, you had a prolific career winning rookie of the year and then reaching the WNBA finals in your next season and then three other finals appearances after that. Have you been able to reflect on that success and being part of the league at a time where you're helping continue building the foundation that has led up to what the NBA is becoming now?
You know, I feel like I should reflect on it more. In my mind, it's like, you should have four rings. Yeah. So I don't really reflect on it because I'm like, I should have won a championship. But I think as I get older now, I'm starting to really look back and reflect now that the game, I have not been on the court playing, you start to reflect like, maybe I was pretty good. Maybe, you know, this was an awesome career, even though in your mind, when you're playing, you're like, I'm chasing this ring. But as I get older, I do start to reflect more on what has happened. And it's a blessing.
And you not only represented Louisville and your hometown and the different cities you played in the WNBA, but also the country in the Olympics, winning two gold medals with the U.S. women's team in 2012 and 2016. What was it being like being a part of something on such a global stage, and what was special about the team and the players? Because I feel like with an Olympic team, there's almost a different kind of bond.
It's a different bond. And it's truly a bond because you have to find a way to put your pride down because there's all these superstars, right? And how do we all just put our pride down and just play for each other? And that's the beauty of being an Olympian. Like, it's the best players in the world, you know, and to play other countries is really cool. Like, just to hear them talking Chinese while they're playing, you don't understand what they're saying, or just Russian or something. That's so cool. And I just, to the pride of being USA, I know a lot of people may take us for granted because we win so much, but these teams want to beat us so bad and they would love to have a gold medal. And you know, it's just an honor to be not only an Olympian, but on such a great team that the USA produces so many great athletes that all deserve the recognition that for all the hard work they put in.
And then outside of your career, especially globally, locally, internationally, you have also given back to the community. I know one example of this, you helped Angel Reese with the Angels Academy camp in both of your hometowns of Baltimore. What about hosting these kinds of camps or just different events throughout the community, make them meaningful, not just to you personally, but also for the younger community?
It's always good to give back. I remember as a kid, I just didn't have Dumb Bay players around, you know, the Mystics that came, but I didn't get to be able to be around them face to face as a kid, right? And I remember the first Dumb Bay player I met was like Deanna Nolan. And she's in I don't know if we were in McDonald's or something. I'm like, oh my God. And she's kind of looking like I'm crazy. I'm like, oh my God. And you know, they weren't around. I didn't get to see, you know, Baltimore didn't really have a team, but you know, even with DC, I just didn't see it. But now these young girls can be around us. They can feel the energy and feel what it's like and what it takes. So that's the important part. Even going to Africa with the kids is like they don't even believe I'm coming because it's like so surreal to them, and like them just learning, like teaching them. It's not about your environment. You can make it wherever you're from. It's just your mentality. So that's the beauty of it. I wish the blogs would post more of that. Yeah, BS, yeah. You know, but you know, that's the world we live in. But you continue to just do good and let that override.
And you know, off the court, one thing you've been doing recently, and I think why you're overseas right now, you've been showcasing your creativity off the court. You're in London for the premiere of your upcoming short film, Bygones, is what it's called. I also saw you were at the premiere of the F1 movie that came out. How was that?
Oh my God.
Did you meet Brad Pitt? Did you meet other stars? How did that go?
I did. I was next to him. And then as I got closer, everybody was like getting, security's getting all shaky. But he gave me a little, I got you. Just, But what a wonderful experience being a filmmaker to be in this space, because I was trying to figure out what am I going to do after basketball? I have no idea. I started commentating and I was like, I don't know if this is my 100% deep love to be in the studio studying. I was on camera forgetting people's names and like sweating profusely. I'm like, I don't know if my anxiety will allow me to continue to do this. But as I got into films, I felt comfortable and I felt like that same adrenaline as basketball. I'm like, this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm a filmmaker. And when I direct, I feel like a basketball coach who's directing her team to win on this film. Like one of the girls in the Bygones film, when you see it, I had to get her to cry. So I had to get it out of her. And that's what a coach does. In basketball, you have to get the best out of your players. So that's how I relate it to it. And it feels so good to me. So I know like I'm in the right space. And to be here tonight at F1 was like just surreal. Just to be around actors that people just see on TV would never be around. Like I'm around Brad Pitt and all these. So I know I'm in the right space. And I know in due time, I'm going to be on that level to produce films. And hey, we need more women sport movies, right? You got F1. Let's get more women. It's not many. There's not a lot. So I want to get women's sports movies to that level like tonight.
And then you also, the premiere of your film, Bygones, in London as well. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that film itself and maybe in its inception.
First of all, what a blessing to be able to premiere internationally. That is so amazing, right? And then second, the inspiration behind Bygones, I wanted to tell a women's sports story, but I wanted it to be a little different to start. Obviously, I'm working on Dumb Bay TV show for many years, for almost 6 years now, different things. But this one is different. This one is a relationship between Carissa and JJ, who kind of becomes her coach. But there's this rift between them because something in his past that relates to her. So it gives a little twist that out of it. It's a sports drama. I don't know if we heard that genre really, but sports drama.
I'm very excited to see it. Do you know when it'll be able to, for the masses?
Yes. Actually, so I've been doing this premieres, this tour and stuff, and I haven't even worked on my distribution yet, but I am starting to work on that and starting to talk to some people. So if you guys give me a couple months, some time to figure out what platform it'll be on, I'll definitely be announcing that soon, soon as possible. So I'm working on that.
That sounds incredibly exciting. And I've seen you have other creative endeavors. I saw something about like an Amazon Prime show potentially you posted on Instagram.
So that one, that one is going to be, got picked up to be on Prime. That's going to be a scary thriller. So that one's going to be, I want y'all jumping out your seat because thriller is really my favorite genre, right? So I'm going to mix it up. I'm going to do sports films, docs, genres. I mean, scary thrillers. So I want to just mix it up and keep it fun and keep it flowing.
A thriller too. You can really bend that genre a lot. You could do like a romantic thriller, a sports thriller, a horror thriller.
So, sports thriller.
I know there's a sports horror movie coming out that has like Marlon Wayans in it.
I saw something. That's for football, right? Like something
football.
Like that.
I don't know if that's more of a straight horror, but I think sports thriller, there's something there.
That's going to be interesting.
So what are you most excited about as you continue to build? And what advice would you give for athletes who are interested, who are interested in pursuing careers, not just in film and TV, but other kind of creative pursuits?
I would say to really figure out, you know, while you're playing, what your other passions are while you're playing. Don't wait. Figure it out now. And those who want to be creative, like, just keep creating ideas. The more weird, the better. We need more weird ideas out in the world. There's not enough. I always say, tell people that. And when you have a thought, write it down. Because if you forget it, it's going to go to someone else. The universe will give it. God will give it to someone else. So continue to put out your ideas. Like, even if it's, you don't say, oh, I don't have the money to afford it. Well, do it with your phone. Film with your phone. You're a director. And many big directors will tell you that. Start filming. Start being creative. Just do it. No excuses.
It's the experience that's key. I can almost anything. So one final section, then I'll get you out of here because I know it is very late where you are. But thank you so much, Angel, again, for joining. Really do appreciate it.
Little legend.
We love you. Mm-hmm. So this section is called Crumbs Corner. It's just a little rapid fire section. So we'll go through and get started right away. So you have an ice cream shop called McCautry's. What is your favorite flavor either there or elsewhere? It could be just an ice cream flavor in general.
At my shop, banana pudding is my favorite. Elsewhere, I would say I like lavender, a lavender.
This is kind of related to the film question. We kind of already answered it a little bit, but maybe, you know, the dream genre for you to work in film wise, maybe even just the weirdest one where you're like, maybe I could try this. You know?
Later on, maybe a really cool sci-fi with all special effects and all that kind of stuff. That'd be cool.
Yeah. Number three, what was your favorite moment as a Louisville women's basketball player that you can think of?
Probably going to the national championship and beating Oklahoma.
Yeah, Final Four, big time.
I'm still trying to figure out if Courtney Paris paid back her scholarship. Did she? She says she promised that, but we'll talk about that later.
Question. I know. I think you were on a recent podcast where you're talking about WNBA expansion, and you know, I do think that the city of Louisville would be a great potential landing spot for a WNBA franchise. If they were to add a team to Louisville, what would be your name for that team?
I like Louisville Legends. I don't know. Something related to the city, maybe Louisville. I don't know. But I like Louisville Legends. But we'll figure it out.
So
that's a bit. I'm working on that. Thank you for that.
We'll workshop it. So the soundtracks, I was looking through the soundtrack to Bygones, and it features, I think, some of your own music that you've made. Is that correct? Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you've been also getting into dabbling into musically. So if you got to collaborate with any artist musically for any type of songs, who would it be? Or who would be maybe one or two that you would think of?
I really love Pharrell. I love his creativity. I would love to work with Pharrell, and I would love to work with Lauryn Hill.
And then final question in the rapid fire. What is just overall the best piece of advice you have received in your career? It could either be sports, in your budding film career, et cetera.
Let go and allow. We don't have to force everything in life. You know, when you let go and allow, you have more peace. That's probably my best advice I've ever got.
And then actually I might have one final question. Do you know what the show Survivor at all? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and just like the general concept, I keep asking this to people, but it's kind of a fun
question. Yeah.
So if you were on the show Survivor with you and your former college and professional teammates, so it's like a WNBA / Louisville season. Who do you think, one, who would maybe be some people that you would want to team up with throughout the season? And who do you think would emerge victorious on a game of Survivor?
I'm going to team up with Candace Bingham because she's going to be smart. She's going to get us out of there. Desiree Bird, Shantese, I don't know what they're going to be doing. Maybe Becky Burke might help figure us out. You know what I'm saying? I think she'll figure us out. But the rest of them, I don't know, child. Oh, my gosh.
If it was all WNBA players, who do you think would be, like, the clear number one? They're taking everybody down.
NECA. She's just so smart, and she just knows what to do.
Perfect.
she could survive.
She could survive.
She would survive. So, yeah.
Angel, thank you so much for joining the show. I really appreciate you taking the time, especially overseas, very late at night, talking about your history with the city of Louisville, your basketball career, time in the Olympics, your time in the film industry, and answering my dumb questions at the end of the pod. So I really do appreciate it. And thank you so much for joining the show.
Absolutely. Let's do it again. Sounds good.
And then before I go, just want to let you all know, it's 502 somewhere. Catch you later, guys.